Next Chapter Podcasts.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Welcome to another episode of the Thick Skin Podcast. My name is LaTroy Hawkins with my boy Jock Jones. And we have a special guest today with us, the great Tory Hunter.
What's up, guys? I'm glad to be a part of this show, man. I'm glad to have my boys back in action. All the trash talking we used to do in the clubhouse, man. I'm glad to be a part of this this thick skin show.
Well, that's perfect. We're going to get right into it. This week's rundown, I'll talk about my my trip to Korea. I was there for the opening day with the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. We're going to talk about Mr. Ohtani betting investigation. We'll get into the MLB opening day highlights. Everybody opened up yesterday. NBA investigating Jante Porter for his betting irregularities. A lot of betting going on these days, fellas. And Caitlin Clark's $5 million payday from the Big Three invitation, if she wants to take it or not. So let's get right into it. Start off with my opening day in Seoul, Korea. Say a couple things about Korea. A lot of traffic. The ballpark was about 10 miles from our hotel. It took us an hour and 20 minutes to get there. The fans were off the charts. They had a good time. They had a live cheerleaders. They had a live band. They did the pop, or the K-pop, which is very popular in Asian countries. They had two K-pop performances, one before each game. The food was incredible. Had a time to hang out with our commissioner, Rob Manfred, CC Sabathia, Ken Griffey Jr., Jimmy Rollins, Jeremy Guthrie. Mm-hmm. He was there also. I had a chance to see Tony Gwynn Jr. He's doing some TV for the Padres network, and just all around good time. It's a long flight over there, 14 hours from Minneapolis, but being able to spend an opening day in another country watching our game be played in different countries and everybody having the same excitement and a passion for the game that we do is pretty, it's important to our game to continue to help our game grow and grow and grow. So you guys got any good stories from opening day? I'll start it off. I got my first opening day in 1995. I made the team out of spring training because of the strike in 1994. And we opened up in Boston. And I remember very vividly, I was number 32. Kirby Puckett was number 34. And they called all us out on the line. And they say your name. You know, you tip your hat. They didn't do the starting lineup. They just called all the numbers out. And when I tipped my hat, you know, and then they said number 34, Kirby Puckett, and the crowd went crazy in Fenway. And I remember Kirby saying to me, T-Hawk, you know, it don't get no better than this, dog. It don't get no better than this. This don't never get old. And that was my favorite. My first opening day was my favorite opening day. How about you, Tory?
Man, I got to tell you, 1999 was my first opening day. And it was definitely my best opening day because just the jitters you have. And that was an old Tiger Stadium as well. So just, you know, playing it somewhere where, you know, some of the Hall of Famers had played in. I know they always talked about when I got there, they were saying Babe Ruth was in that jacuzzi. And that was in Tiger Stadium in 1999. Just walking in that tunnel, everything was old. But for me, I was just looking at, like, you had guys like Babe Ruth that touched that door or sat at this training table and different things like that. That stadium was so old, man. If you get cut, you definitely had to get a technic shot. Everything was rusted, but I was happy to be in the big leagues. They called us out on the field, and I just kind of looked out at the crowd and was like, this is a dream come true. And so that's something that I'll never forget in 1999, stepping on that field, tipping my cap when they called my name out on the road. And it was awesome.
My favorite opening day moment, we just talked about earlier today, T. 2002. Guardy was just named manager of our team. He took over TK. He named me the everyday left fielder, so I was going to play every single day. Flying into Kansas City, I just worked with Tony Gwynn in the offseason, so I was excited about that. I was focused. I was like laser focused, actually. And flying in, I told Tori, I was like, "Doc, I'm going deep today. I'm going to go deep. My first at bat, like, I'm going deep." And so, like, second pitch of the season, it was 1-0, and a new nickname was born.
Yeah, 1-0. That was his name. I never forget that, man. That day you told me, you said, "T, I'm going deep." I was like, "All right." When he hit it, I went crazy. It was amazing that he called
that shot. But just, you know, I had missed opening day since 1995. And I feel like I missed opening day yesterday because the Twins opened up in Kansas City again.
Mm-hmm.
And other teams opened up, you know, at home and on the road. But I had to sit there and think about, I didn't miss opening day. I just had opening day in another country.
Right.
And I just opened up in Korea.
But yep.
Yeah.
It was fun. I tell you what, I had a chance to go see, we had a scout from the Twins named David Kim. He's Korean. He lives there. And I didn't know he was at home at the time. He hit me up and said, "Hey, if you got some time, I want to show you our country." And I'm like, okay. So on Friday, which was an off day for me because I was leaving on Saturday morning, everybody else left on Friday morning. He took me around, showed me some of the, you know, the sites that you really don't get a chance to see. I had a chance to see North Korea, went mm-hmm. up in the tower, looked in the binoculars over to North Korea. That was pretty cool because you understand, you know, you look at that country and they're stagnant, and then you turn to your right and you look at Seoul, South Korea, and it's a booming. They have a booming economy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was eye opening. Had a chance to have some real authentic Korean food, the Korean barbecue, all the soups, the stews that they have, the kimchi. I mean, when I leave the country, I'm eating whatever the locals eat. So I had a good time eating. And their fried chicken, man. Believe it or not, as good as they say the fried chicken is here, the Korean fried chicken is better over there. Yeah. 10 times
better. Really good.
Yep. But the games were cool. The first game was a pitcher's duel. The second game ended up being a high scoring game. I guess guys got the jitters out. Jet lag was real. What do you got, Jock, on the Padres earning a split?
I was happy with it. I felt like in the first game, when Cronenworth had that ball go through his web, that was a turning point of that game. I felt like they could have probably hung in there and snuck that one out too, but I was glad to see those guys bounce back the next day and beat up the new Dodgers acquisition. I was happy about that. They beat him up pretty good. I think it was 5 runs in the first inning. And so overall, I mean, like you said, jet lag and being in a different country and unfamiliar situation, getting the split out of there was huge for those guys.
Did you get a chance to go to Itaewon?
Yes, we were there.
You went to Itaewon and mm-hmm. we get all the Nike gear for dirt cheap there.
It ain't dirt cheap no more, Tori. When was the last time you were there?
1992. You know, you get the starter jackets. We had the starter jackets back then. No, none of that.
We went to the Jordan store in Seoul, and it's a nice size store. I mean, they got some of everything in there, but guess what? They don't make a women's size over an 8, and they don't make a men's size over 11. I tried on a triple extra large sweatshirt, still didn't fit. So they can have everything over there, man. Everything small.
I went to one of the villages, and they had all the food. They were cooking it outside. I think I told you guys about this story that we were walking, and it was Paul Konerko. All of us was walking down the street, Derek Lee. And, man, we saw these cats. So they would tie the cat's hind legs, tie them up, and put them on a rope. And it's hanging over, and the cat is hanging over, and they would dip him in hot grease.
Ooh.
And then bring him back.
Nice.
Up and hot take grease, his take
burn
the skin,
the fur off.
Mm-hmm. Take the fur off and everything, and literally would chop the head off, and they would eat it. And I'm like, oh God, this is crazy. That would never happen in America.
No, just because we don't eat it here don't mean it shouldn't be eaten.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be eaten. It's a thing that's what they do.
Part
you know
culture.
What I mean? It's part of the culture. You know, they say when in Rome, do what the Romans do.
Did you eat some cat?
Pause.
Yeah. Pause. No Diddy. Yes.
Did you eat some cat?
I
love it.
Yeah. Some people do.
So, fellas, wow. I was in Korea. The story broke of the great Shohei Ohtani betting investigation.
Mm-hmm.
It came out as it first was reported as he was getting investigated for betting with an illegal bookie in the state of California. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, you cannot bet in the state of California. There's no legal betting in the state of California. Nope. If you get caught, it is a crime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the call comes in. Ohtani had been betting with a legal bookie. Fine and dandy if he live in any other state. Not mm-hmm. fine and dandy because he lives in the state of California mm-hmm. where he resides or works.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on a green card or work visa. Yes. So ESPN interviews his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, who's been his best friend, his interpreter for his entire time in the United States. I think they knew each other in Japan as well. And he does an interview for an hour and 30 minutes talking about he had a gambling problem and Shohei helped him pay off his debts.
Mm-hmm.
How true is that? I have no clue, but I do know this. He doesn't make that type of money for a bookie to allow him to get that far in debt. $500,000 wired multiple occasions from Shohei Ohtani's account.
Yep.
So he does an hour and 30 minute interview, taking blame, saying, yes, I have a gambling problem. Addressed the team, the Dodgers organization. Soon after, Ohtani's people says, don't run that. There's been new information for this case. And they said that Ipe stole the money.
Oh.
It was a massive theft. I don't think we use those type of terms in the United States. A massive theft.
Mm-hmm. Massive
No,
theft.
You stole it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was robbed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you guys heard that news and you read through it, what were your first thoughts? Jock, you first.
Man, look, $500,000 coming from someone's account that I'm not on, right? And even if I'm on Tori's account, Tori's my best friend. I've been on Tori since I was 21, right? And Tori gave me access to his account. If I get $500,000 out of his account, his financial advisor is going to call Tori and say, hey, man, I know Jock's your boy, but can you authorize me to send him $500,000?
Right.
Right? They have to do that by law and by rule in that world. So to say that he stole from him on multiple occasions. And everyone's talking about 700 million and a billion and all this. Like, rich people, wealthy people know where every sin is. People that got money, you might can slip that by them, maybe. But wealthy people know where all their money is.
They track every dollar. I just don't understand the negligence on Ohtani's part. I mean, I had a chance to meet him, seemed like a great guy, man. But if he's a little naive on the cash, all the hard work he puts in on a day-to-day basis, you know, he got a Got to have Tommy John. He had Tommy John.
Right.
And he can't even pitch and do the thing that he really wants to do. He can hit, but he can't do those things. But you work your butt off for all these years that you let someone take $500,000 several times up to $4.5 million. And you felt like you were that close to him. My wife can't get away with $500,000 a month with me. You know, I was definitely, or a year, whatever it may be, my wife can't even get that past me. I love her to death. But $500,000 comes out, I'm going to know. If she did $500, I'm going to know. Hey, baby, I love you if you watch.
So the Dodgers were told that Ohtani had covered Ipe's debt. But Ohtani's camp said the clubhouse meeting was the first time Ohtani had learned that there was money missing from his bank account. I mean, I was probably born on a damn Friday night, but it wasn't Friday.
It wasn't last Friday night.
Yeah. It wasn't last Thursday night. It wasn't last Wednesday night. So hours later, Mizuhara Ipe, the interpreter, changed his story to ESPN. The Dodgers fired him, and Ohtani's lawyer issued a statement saying Ohtani was a victim of a massive theft. So we look at it this way. I'm both y'all interpreter. So you guys speak Afrikaan.
We speak Ebonics, man.
Afrikaan. And I'm interpreting for you guys. And some shit goes sideways. We're in a club, riding down, got some weed on us or something. I'm taking a rap for that. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm taking a rap. Mm-hmm. I ain't taking no fucking rap if y'all tell somebody I robbed y'all. Mm-hmm. I ain't taking a rap for that. Yeah. I ain't doing that.
Or whoop your ass is universal in any language.
We going to do that first, and then I'm going to get the assault charge first before we find out if you took the money. I'm not taking
a robbery charge, man. No. It's one thing. I'm taking a weed charge. I'm taking a gun charge for y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah. But I ain't no way in hell you gonna say I stole something from you.
It's kind of we gotta wait and see what comes out, because Ohtani saying that, you know, we're pressing charges, you know, he's putting himself in.
Tori, I ain't believing shit until somebody get indicted.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I mean he's saying I'm pressing charges, mm-hmm. and then they do the investigation. You know, if FBI get involved,
they're already involved.
Well, there it is.
It's a government case.
Yeah.
Well, it's 100%. They going after whatever, you know. Whoever did this crime. So I'm just saying Ohtani will have to, he has to know that if you say this, they coming after you too, because they find that paper trail, mm-hmm. it comes back to you, they're going to get you.
The paper trail says the wires came from
Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani's account.
I know mm-hmm. it did. It was a shared account.
Shared account with who?
With Ipe. Didn't he have a
shared account with Ipe? No. Ipe can't touch his money. That's the sad part.
I thought it was a shared account.
No, that's the part where... Well,
they trying to share the blame, but it ain't shared account.
Because there's no way. It's just no way that you're going to take... You can take $500,000 from me unless you're trying to take care of your friend, which is still illegal.
Yeah. I mean, but let's think about it. Like, when he goes in that room with ESPN for an hour and a half, there's a really good chance. This is my speculation. This is me putting my lawyer hat on. My street hat, whatever hat that we got, our common sense hat. Yeah. This is me saying, like, he goes in there, he talks about having a gambling issue, okay? Mm-hmm. He got a gambling issue. Mm-hmm. He goes on this long, drawn-out lie. Ipe. Mm-hmm. This is the longest lie. It's an hour and a half. That's a hell of a lie. But in the process of him taking a rap for the betting issue, he implements Shohei in a crime with the wire money. So now I think his camp has to backtrack and say, Ohtani's here. Ipe is from, he's been in the United States since he was 7.
Right.
Hmm. Shohei's, you know, he's just been here like 6 years. Don't sound like he's trying to get his citizenship. So he's on a work visa.
Right.
And getting caught up in that government case, I'm sure that has some bad juju. Yeah, bad juju on his work visa. And the Los Angeles Dodgers, that's a problem for them. That's a real problem. So
can he play on Zoom?
I'll face him on Zoom. I'll face him on Zoom. So I think that's when Ohtani's camp saw that, whoa, he just implemented Ohtani in a crime. Mm-hmm. We got to figure this out. And whoa, he's lying. He stole the money. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the way to get Ohtani off the radar, off the hook. Mm. So I don't know. We still got to wait for it to play out, but it's not looking good.
Do you think that this has been going on for a while, longer than we think?
What, him betting?
Or the investigation allegations?
They've known since October.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even understand how we...
Exactly.
You know, I can't say that.
So even that, after the first game, everybody saw Ohtani and Ipe
in the dugout.
Interaction. Their interactions didn't look like you had just stole $4.5+ million.
Nope.
Their interactions look like,
what are we doing tonight?
Thank you for taking the rap from me, buddy, old pal.
Yep. I still want to know how he became a free agent, but
who? Ipe?
Ohtani. Mm. That's why I'm saying, has it been going on for a while?
I
can't really talk about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I get that. Yeah. You're right, how he became a free agent.
Yep. How did he become a free agent?
Hey, maybe he wanted to be a Doyer. Maybe. Hey, let's tap on that. Maybe that's why the Dodgers did that deal of paying him $2 million, because they knew something was going on.
And maybe that's why the Angels didn't try to...
sign him back.
Try to sign him back.
He's still on camera.
Oh, am I?
He's still on camera, T.
So I don't know. I don't know.
It's just one of those situations.
I cannot confirm or deny. Yeah.
There's a lot in the background, and I like it because, you know what? I guess his camp didn't understand. Like, people do forget. They forgive and they forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will forgive you.
They will forgive and then they'll forget.
They might not forget.
Only way they don't forget is if you do what you're doing now. that's making everybody seem like they're crazy. Stupid.
Yep.
They're stupid. I don't know. I just don't get it, man. It's just so bad. Like, I'm down with y'all. Y'all my brothers, man. I mean, there's a lot of shit that I would take for y'all.
Yeah.
But once y'all say I stole from y'all, we got a problem.
Yeah.
You can't call me a thief. Don't call me a thief.
Publicly. Like, you're a thief on international TV, not national.
Yeah. And so the same gambling ring that this Ohtani Ipe investigation is part of is the same one that Yasiel Puig was caught up in. Mm-hmm. And he was caught up in one that started by a minor league baseball player. He started it, and this is still part of that little gambling ring.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yep, okay. Yep.
Man. Yep. So the
bookmaker name?
Where's he at?
Matthew Boyer, Orange County.
Oh,
didn't you live
God.
In Orange County? Reportedly surfaced in a federal investigation along with Ohtani's name. The Times was reportedly investigating the matter, and that caused Ohtani's lawyers to look into the situation and discover the alleged theft by Mizuhara Ipe. Wrong. Boyer's home was raided by federal agents last year, the Times reported. The same prosecutors have been investigating a large gambling operation in the area, one that has even roped in former Dodgers player Yasiel Puig, though it's unclear if the two are formally related. So Yasiel got in trouble because he lied under oath. Mm-hmm. Mm. He lied in his deposition. Yeah. Mm. That's what you don't want to do.
That's up to a year.
Don't want to do that. In the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft. There we go. They didn't say he was robbed. They said a massive theft. Mm-hmm. Could they have packaged that any better?
Is that a white collar crime?
Oh, for sure. Definitely a white collar crime. Definitely.
Yeah, it'd be a federal resort.
I don't know. I think it's more of a fine than anything.
Yeah. Ain't no jail time.
Yeah, ain't no jail time for Ohtani. But I think it's more of his immigration status. And the thing is, like, it's not a Orange County case. It's not an L.A. County case. It's not a California case.
I was talking about Ipe.
Yeah, for him either. It's not none of it. It's not nothing to do with, you know, California, Los Angeles County, Orange County. It got everything to do with federal government.
Federal government.
So, hey, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. Because the state of California rock with the Doyers. The government ain't got to rock with them.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Yeah, I all athletes in Orange County and L.A. County, don't gamble. Someone come to you and say, hey, won't you make this bet? Say no, because it could be you next.
Okay, so what do you guys think? What if it comes out he betted on baseball, then what? And how do you guys feel about the, for me, the conflict of interest with FanDuel and betting and all that stuff? Even with baseball, basketball, and football.
Yeah. What was that, Rule 21?
Yep.
I really hate that rule because FanDuel and everything, it's part of baseball. I don't understand why that rule is read in the clubhouse every day when you already have gambling legally in baseball.
Yeah, it's the only rule that's read.
Right. It's the only rule that's read, but you actually, FanDuel is actually a gambling site that's a part of baseball, right? Yeah. A gambling app or whatever it may be. So I don't understand that rule sometimes. Now, if he bet on baseball, Pete Rose got to be in.
Or they both got
to
be out.
Oh, it's just, you beat me to it, Double J.
Let me do this. Let me read this. Rule 21 that they read in the major league clubhouses every spring training. Any player, umpire, or club, or league official or employee who shall bet any sum whatsoever upon any baseball game in connection with which the bettor has no duty to perform shall be declared ineligible for 1 year. Any player, umpire, or club, or league official or employee who shall bet any sum whatsoever upon any baseball game in connection with which the bettor has a duty to perform shall be declared permanently ineligible. Let me repeat. Bettor has a duty to perform shall be declared permanently ineligible. So if a player, manager, etc., places a bet on a game, a la Pete Rose, that has no duty to perform, he shall be suspended for 1 year. If it's a game he's involved in, he could be suspended for life. So that's Rule 21.
Okay, well, there you have it. Let's hope that he didn't bet on baseball. And yeah. There's been a lot of, you know, you have your internet, you got your Twitter, social media guys going to pick different games. And Jock, you sent me something that you asked, was there any validity to it? And I was like, I didn't know if it was at all. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like blown away. But you know what? People can find whatever they want to find. Mm-hmm. And it had something to do with one of his outings, with, what was that, last year?
Yeah.
2 years ago?
Yep.
Now, Ohtani, they said, thread, July 22nd, 2022, a bet of $1 million was placed for the Atlanta Braves to score over 6.5 runs against the LA Angels, parlayed with the Braves -3.5. The bet was placed with a bookie in Mizusawa's Shohei's hometown, the pitcher for the Angels. On that day, the stats for Shohei that day were as follows. 6 1/3 innings pitch, 6 hits, 6 earned runs, 1 base on ball. At the plate, you ask, 0-3 with 2 strikeouts. Was he throwing the game? I'll let you guys decide that.
Mm.
And there are a couple other, you know,
things that people pulled up.
Social media investigators pulled up. And I mean, it's a head scratcher. It makes you scratch your head and be like,
yeah.
But
hopefully they don't correlate. It doesn't seem like Ohtani's that type of guy, but
no.
Hey man.
He
got a whole popular wife in Japan. We had no clue he had. Like, what other secrets does he have? Mm-hmm. That's all. What other secrets?
She's a stud.
He's a hooper. Secrets? None of his teammates knew he had a girlfriend.
Yeah. She can hoop too.
Mm-hmm. None of his teammates knew he had a girlfriend.
That's crazy.
None.
He has a secret life, man. That's pretty good, actually.
He got a secret life. And part of that secret life could be gambling.
Oh man, I hope not.
I hope not, but
it could be. Hey, man. I mean, hey, I hope it is.
Man, I just think
hope it is.
I think a guy like Ohtani, we need someone like that in the game.
Why?
You know, I'm not gambling. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I hope it didn't happen. I hope the guy.
Why really do we need him? Tell us.
Because, you know, this guy's, he's coming from another country. The game is expanding internationally, right? This is the first time, you know, I've seen this game just expand like all across the world. And so I think you got to have a guy like that if you're trying to expand internationally. That's pretty good player.
You know Ohtani doesn't talk to his teammates, I heard.
Wow.
He doesn't hit on the field. So our fans don't get a chance to see him take batting practice. And he speaks to the zero to the media. Wow. Never.
Wow.
Never. So what does he do for the game?
Yeah, he don't do much for the game then. I didn't know
what
that.
Is he? No.
See, it's something never hits just
on,
don't know.
Right. He never hits on the field. You got a lot of guys. You got a few guys like that. I get that. But when Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and all those guys are hitting mm-hmm. on the field, and you got Mike Trout hitting on the field, like, mm-hmm. yeah. why don't you hit on the field? If we're growing the game, you got people, even Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, when they were doing the home run, you know.
Yeah, they was hitting.
They were hitting every day. People were driving 8 to 10 hours just to see batting practice and then turn around and drive back home.
It's crazy.
And they were talking to the media. Mm-hmm. What, like, he is he a, his face a superstar? Sure, because he's from a different country. But what else does he bring? Like,
that's true.
Making Adoya is a lot of money, but, like, he don't talk to the media. Now he has to talk to the media. And then when he did talk to the media, he didn't take any questions. Everything he was reading off a piece of paper.
Or somebody else was reading it.
Well, that too. But I don't, like, what else does he bring? He bring a talent that we've never seen before, but it's this guy with all this talent, like, we know nothing about.
Right.
We know nothing about this dude.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, we do now.
We know he's somewhat involved in gambling scam.
And he's married.
There you have it.
To a hooper, too.
Yeah, how about that? We're going to move on to opening day highlights.
Moving on.
Opening day highlights. The Red Sox hosting the Seattle Mariners. Red Sox won 6-4. Diamondbacks 16. Colorado Rockies 1. Mm. They dropped a 14-run inning in the bottom of the third.
Mm.
On opening day.
Mm.
Bro, a 14-run inning. Not a 14 total runs. They dropped a 14-run inning.
They had a lot of high school pitchers?
They had no pitchers.
Sounds like they have no fielders either.
Mm.
Well, hell, they can't catch everything.
That ball must have been flying.
Yeah, man, it was.
How many homers, you know?
I'm about to tell you right now, but it was a situation where, man, I'm like, what's going on? So Gurriel Jr. had a home run in the first off Kyle Freeland. And that was the only home run of the game. They had 1, 2, 3, 4 hit. Doubles. They had 18 hits, 16 RBIs, 1 home run, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts, 40 at-bats, 16 runs. Freeland went 2 1/3, 10 hits, 10 runs, 10 earned runs, 1 base on ball, 2 Ks, 1 home run. Only threw 49 pitches, 34 strikes. He was in the strike zone.
Look at that ERA.
Yeah, ERA of a 38.57. And then Molina came in, the guy after him, threw 1/3 of an inning. He gave up 6 earnings on 6 hits.
God.
Yeah.
6-6-6.
Yeah, but after that, everything was...
He should hurry up and get on a Phantom DL.
Yeah, he might have to.
Oh, my God.
He might have to.
ERA is, what, 1,000?
Was close. It 1,000?
How many games you play in a season?
162.
162.
That's his ERA.
Damn, Jock.
It's just what it says.
Oh, my God.
I know
God.
What it says, man. I know exactly what it says, but Jesus.
That's going to take a minute to get down.
Oh, ooh. Heck yeah. But he's a starter, so he's going to have a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
And you got the Cleveland Guardians, 8. Oakland Athletics, 0. Shane Bieber went out there and struck out 10. That dude is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys face Bieber?
I did not.
I think I got him when I went back to Minnesota.
What does I got him mean? What does that mean?
Like, faced him.
I thought you said you got him. I thought you said I took him deep.
I didn't get him. I didn't get him. I might have foul tipped him, but I don't remember getting him.
I didn't get them.
In a long game that went into extras on opening day, the Rangers, the defending world champions, against the Chicago Fubbies. Yep.
Hey, so yes, sir. I saw this play in that game with the foul ball and the catcher, where the hitter, foul tip, you can clearly see on the replay, foul tip, ball gets under the catcher's mitt, ball goes behind him, catcher argues, foul tip, runner scores from second. It was not reviewable. So, like, at some point, that's got to be reviewable.
I'm sure they're probably going to take it into consideration, yeah, especially if you got, you know, losing ball games and getting earned runs.
Yeah.
Rangers top prospect Wyatt Langford, drafted last year, yeah, out of the University of Florida, got his first major league hit and RBI in that game.
Made the team.
Pirates, Marlins, Pirates 6, Marlins 5, the Pirates, Josh Bell.
Texas native, Dallas. Yep.
The New York Yankees and the Houston Astros, 5-4, another close game.
Yep.
Juan Soto threw a guy out at the plate, a nice throw.
Hmm.
I was watching the replay, and they were just like, they were talking about this throw like it was
yeah,
Bo Jackson throwing out Harold Reynolds at home plate.
And they said cannon.
Yeah, like a cannon. I'm like, he short hopped the catcher. Like, what do, like, I get it, you make it exciting, but I guess for guys like us, when we see it, it's like,
Yeah, it's, you know what, they say his defense is not what it is. I guess Jock was in, he lives in San Diego, but he probably heard a lot of people say, oh, his defense is not what it is, and, you know, they were complaining, but he still banged. He had 100-plus RBIs, and how many home runs,
36, I believe.
36 home runs, and now he's with the Yankees. He's going to hit 40 home runs and 100 again.
Yep.
But he's playing better defense. He's probably, you know, if he felt like he had a weakness, a guy like that, it seemed like he's very, very super competitive. And I think this guy is going to, you know, show everybody in San Diego that, hey, man, I can play some defense as well.
Yep.
The Nationals offered him $300 million or something.
$400
million, yeah. And he turned it down. How do you do that?
I don't know.
How do you do that? How do you turn down that type of money?
And you're young, too.
Who was his agent?
Who cares?
Who was his agent?
I think it was Scott Boras, I think.
Agent worked for him. He don't work for the agent. That's for sure. But, yeah, goodness. He turned it down. Like, if he don't be able to recuperate that money, man, like, that's going to be something.
It's going to hunt him for a long time.
$400 million.
Where
do you
million.
Go from there? Like, you get, you're not going to get Otani's money simply because Otani's getting paid to do two jobs.
Two things.
Yeah.
But, well, Otani has value for, that's what I'm saying. He has value for international money, like marketing and all this stuff. He's making crazy money. Yeah, he's $700 million because he's bigger.
Yeah.
You know, Soto is going to be right here in America. He's going to make his money. But Otani, you're not going to make that type of money. So I don't know how you turn out $400 million. Legacy, bro. You got legacy. You know, I don't know where you come from. I don't know where you're from, but I'm pretty sure you can change bloodlines. To turn that down is asinine.
Yeah.
Can I use that word?
Ridiculous. Yeah, yes, you can.
Thanks,
Blue
guys.
Jays, 8. Tampa Bay Rays, 2. Vladimir Guerrero with a home run last night. The rumor is he lost some weight. Mm-hmm. He's lost weight, you know, the last two off seasons, so he's looking good. And when he's not as heavy, he's very mobile. And hopefully he can find his MVP level stroke, because he has a lot of talent. He can swing it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He can definitely swing it.
You know his dad?
Yep.
Yeah. He can swing it.
And he can play defense.
Mm-hmm. Now his dad had a cannon.
Bazooka.
Man. Yeah. That was different. Yep. And Minnesota Twins beat the Kansas City Royals 4-1. Royce Lewis, first at bat, goes deep, 427 feet.
Yeah.
Pablo Lopez, 7 innings, 1 run. Worked his way out of a couple jams. You know, he had like 13 swing and miss yesterday on his fastball, which is pretty impressive. Carlos Correa was 3 for 4.
That's good.
He had a double. And Royce Lewis was coming around second and came up a little lame. And looks like he has a quad injury as of last night. Didn't know how serious it was, but it was serious enough for him to be taken out of the game and replaced by Kyle Farmer. The Doyers, 7. The St. Louis Cardinals, 1. Mookie Betts had a home run. Mookie had a home run over in Korea also on Thursday night. And he, the first player to hit a home run of the season, and he won a Hyundai, a car.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Very nice.
They look better now?
They actually do.
Really?
They do. They're nice. You got the Honda Palisade, which is the like the crossover SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
I don't care. I got a free car, so it wouldn't matter.
There you go. Tyler Glasnow pitched well in Seoul. Definitely pitched well last night against the Cardinals. Cincinnati Reds, 8. Washington Nationals, 2. 8-2. The Reds are, you know, that young team that I'm not going to say they're going to sneak up on a few folks, but they got some really good young talent. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they got the wherewithal to go through 162 and not fade. The Tigers, 1. The Chicago White Sox, 0. And Tarek Skubal, lefty, ace for the Tigers, absolutely dealt. That's the team in the American League Central, boys, that I'm like. Don't sleep on the Tigers.
Yeah,
they've been stockpiling some talent, signed a few guys, got Miggy's contract off the books, and their pitching is going to take them to the promised land. If they get there, it's going to be because of that pitching. They have a good young team. Orioles, 11. The Angels, 3. Corbin Burns struck out 11 yesterday. He was absolutely dealing. His only blemish was he gave up a home run to Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he dominated. He dominated. He was traded this offseason from the Milwaukee Brewers to the Baltimore Orioles. His first stint with another team, and he didn't have to shake off any rust. He picked up where he left off at in Milwaukee.
That's another young team, LaTroy. That's exciting. And then when Jackson Holliday makes his big league debut, it's going to be even more exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to pan out for those guys this year. They had a big year last year with 100 wins. Hopefully they'll build off of that again with that young team over there.
100 wins, man. And just think, they went from the bottom to the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been in the bottom for a long time.
Well, they're an organization that does like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they'll be really good, and then they're gonna be as bad as you can get, like losing 100 games. Mm-hmm. So they've done well the last decade with their picks, their draft picks. They did a great job with getting Tyler Wells from the Twins. He was coming off of Tommy John, and they rule-fied him. He had to be in the big leagues the whole year, so he pitched out of the bullpen. Now he's in their rotation. He's probably number 2 starter now.
Mm.
So he was a former Twins farmhand, and he's always had good stuff. And
last year, he throws strikes too.
Yeah, he throws strikes. Last year was his breakout season. We're gonna transition to Caitlin Clark, the sharpshooter, the score, the magician, the Pistol Pete of college basketball. Caitlin Clark of Iowa Hawkeyes. She was offered $5 million to come play in the Ice Cube Big 3 League. Your thoughts on that? Pretty big deal.
I think it's a huge deal. It's something that will be groundbreaking to have a female player play in the Big 3. She's got a huge following as far as fans. I won't say she took the world by storm because they've known she's been pretty good for the last couple of years, but she's developed a huge following. Everyone talks about her sportsmanship and the way she plays the game. And, I mean, Ice Cube's taking a huge leap of faith and a huge risk on trying to bring her in to play. I believe it was only 10 games for $5 million. I mean, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see how she matches up against the guys in the big three. And I'm excited to see how it pans out.
So do you think she has to use the men's ball or the girls' ball? Like, what are we doing?
It's the men's league.
Exactly.
Mm.
So you think she still has the same ability to score?
$5 million says that somebody thinks she does.
No, somebody don't care. I like it, though.
Hey, it's a good tester, man, you know.
It is. It's going to make money.
It's going to make money. And she's out there playing, and everybody's going to want to see what happens. And, you know, hopefully she doesn't get manhandled.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Right. You know, like Ice Cube comments, we intend to offer to remain private while Caitlin Clark plays for NCAA championship. But I won't deny what's out there already. The Big Three made a historic effort to Caitlin Clark. Why wouldn't we? Caitlin is a generational athlete who can achieve tremendous success in the Big Three. The skeptics laughed when we made Nancy Lieberman the first female coach. Tori and I know Nancy personally.
She's awesome.
Yep. First female coach of a men's pro team. And she won a championship in her first year. Then Lisa Leslie won a championship in her first year. With our offer, Caitlin Clark can make history and break down even more barriers for women athletes. But just so you guys know, she is not signed with the Big Three. We're all talking on assumption. Yes. And what would be good for sports in general, just not the game of basketball, but for sports in general, more inclusion. And she get a big payday, too. Ain't nothing wrong with a good payday.
And it'd be good. I'd see her shoot the lights out. It'd be awesome.
Yep. Let's move on to some more betting allegations. Mm. Wow. Mm-mm. Jonte Porter. Toronto Raptors. Yep. Is away from the team because he is the subject of a gambling investigation. How did you get caught in the pickle? You know, the pickle starts with professional sports taking money from the gambling people.
Yep.
Yep.
Sponsorship.
Put the players in a bad spot. Bad spot. Yep. ESPN reported that the games on January 26th and March 20th are under investigation because prop bets related to Porter's statistics. So a prop bet is, for those you don't know, we're going to prop bet that I lick my fingers before I throw a pitch like four times in between each pitch. You know, just little crazy bets. And they confirmed that Porter is not with the team currently. Raptors played the Brooklyn Nets on Monday night. Porter was also not with the team when the Raptors lost to the Wizards on Saturday in D.C. He had 7 points and 8 assists the night before against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They declined, but the deal is his prop bet, money-making bet on two different nights. Over the last 2 months, when the under of 0.5 three-pointers made hit a minus 120 on January 26th, and on March 20th, when his props were the biggest money-makers that night in the NBA, according to the DraftKings Sports Insights. So, for those you don't know, all the professional sports league has a watchdog, like a whistleblower who pays attention to things like this, how much money, well, why are, like, Tory doesn't walk ever, just using this, and all of a sudden, they're getting a lot of action on Tory walking tonight. So depending on how much money's being put on that bet that he's going to walk determines whether it raises a red flag or not. And that's where they got Porter at. That's where they got him at.
Because if I walk four times in a game, it's definitely gambling.
Did you ever walk four times in a game?
Never.
Nope.
Negative. In high school.
Yep. So they reported it to the league, and they dropped the bet. They canceled the bet. Got to cancel the bet. What do you got, Jock Jones?
So I got a question. I'm going to pose this question to both of you guys. Right. So we've had some betting allegations in the NFL. Mm-hmm. We've had betting allegations in the NBA. Okay. Both leagues suspended players from participating. We have a betting allegation in Major League Baseball, and the player's still playing. What do you got on that?
I think we like our players more than they like theirs. So with the NFL
That's hot.
The NFL, their rules are, to my knowledge, just I did some reading on the case with the three Detroit Lion players. Mm-hmm. And in the NFL, you can't bet on the NFL mm-hmm. if you're a player. Mm-hmm. Understood. Makes totally sense. Good mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. But you can't bet when you're at a team function, with when you're at the club, at not the clubhouse, mm-hmm. but when you're in, at the facility. Mm-hmm. You can't bet at the stadium. Mm-hmm. You can't bet when you're on a team bus. You can't bet when you're on a team road trip. Mm-hmm. You can't bet when you're on a team plane. Mm-hmm. So only time you can bet is when you leave your house or when you get in your car and you're off of the mm-hmm. team's property. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, actually. That I would agree with that.
Yeah, but you're putting people in bad spots. Like, okay, I get to the stadium. I need to put my bet in, and I'm not betting on football. So mm-hmm. why I can't still put my basketball or my soccer bet in
at the stadium?
At the stadium, like why I can't? Like it's. It just don't make any sense.
When you get to the workplace, you should be focusing on what's about to happen to you. Is it good or bad? You know, I just you shouldn't be thinking about betting. It's just that's why you do it away. If you get you won't get caught unless you get caught.
I hadn't heard anything like that in a long time, Jock. You don't get caught unless you get caught.
Yeah,
that's what. Otani's people saying?
Yeah, I mean,
I just find it, you're right. Like, he's not playing. But for Otani, they did push it out on the interpreter. So right now, it's not on him. There might come a time in the near future, though. It might come a time. You just never know. We'll see what the federal government got to say. Mm. There might come a time where he might not be playing either.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, I think that. I laugh because he can easily say, hey, I'm going to go out here and shoot a three today. I ain't hit a three in a month. I ain't going to make it. And then all his boys go bet. You know?
Yeah, that's...
Or he could say his interpreter bet for him.
You're right. I'm sure Pete Rose wish he had an interpreter. I'm sure he wish he had an interpreter. But that's so sad, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tough. It's all this gambling.
It makes you. I wonder how do the professional sports leagues feel because they're taking money. They're making money from these gambling agencies. Man, they're making a lot of money.
And you got teams in Vegas now.
Yeah. Yeah. More and more coming.
And that could be an issue. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, nothing but gambling out there.
But we hadn't heard much about any Raider players.
I haven't.
But if you
not yet anyway,
if you dig deeper,
I wouldn't bet on the Raiders if I played for the Raiders.
Coming from a Charger fan,
hey, I remember. Do you remember Mike Tykes? You know the ball coach for the Vikings.
Yeah, Mike Tykes.
He was selling those tickets, and then they did a big investigation. Oh, then it changed the game. Yeah. For major. This was football.
Yeah,
it changed Major League Baseball that we had to now. We were paying. We paid no.
Taxes on
no taxes on or nothing on our tickets. We would give tickets to people we like, right? But then, you know, we gave tickets to people we didn't like. Now we have to pay the 45% tax on mm-hmm. those tickets because Mike Tyson was selling those football tickets, playoff tickets, you know, outside of the clubhouse to other people for $1,500 or $3,500. He was making a killing off those tickets.
Well, that's, you know, they still do that in NFL. Mm. Like, going to the Super Bowl, you might be on a plane with like 10 players. Like, what you going to Super Bowl for? I'm going to get my tickets. You have to go to the Super Bowl city to get your tickets.
Physically.
They set them. They sell them. I'm sorry. They sell them. Get back on the plane and go back home that night. Cash.
Mm.
So they figure out a way. If you order tickets, you have to go to the city of the Super Bowl and get your tickets and sell them then. And then they go back home. Always. It never fails. When I leave here to go to a Super Bowl city, there's always players on there. They're going to sell their tickets.
So you look at one sport kind of changed the landscape for even Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. right? So if you got gambling on this side, and it's getting out there. This has been a lot going on. And you got gambling baseball. Now you got two sports with gambling issues. So what makes you think that they won't really dive a little deeper and and try to change some of these rules. Because you do have FanDuel. It's like, it's okay to say these things or say this to, if you got a kid, you'd say, hey, you can't say that, or you can say that. And these kids grow up saying these certain things, and one day you're like, man, you can't say that. Boy, I grew up this way. Well, mm-hmm. we're training our players. FanDuel is okay. All these gambling sites or all these things are good. But then they go gamble, they get in trouble. So it's like, it's got to change.
This right here is a problem also. We didn't have this in the clubhouse when we all started.
Not a click of a button.
This is a problem. It is a problem. Those apps are a problem.
That's the casino.
Yep. You got the casino in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the gambling thing just like marijuana. Like, marijuana is legal in California.
Right.
Well, it's not legal in Arizona.
Right.
Like, yeah. You got to abide by the law mm-hmm. of the city that your state that you're in.
Right.
And there's no gambling in the state of California. Zero.
Zero.
They got all them other laws around there. You can smoke weed wherever you want to smoke it, sell it, every damn thing. But they can't, no betting. It's like that here in Texas also. There's no gambling.
Oh, no really? Gambling in Texas.
No okay. gambling in Texas.
Okay. And no, you better not have no weed either. A weed pen. That's a felony. Just the pen.
It's not good.
Be careful, Jock.
Well, that's going to wrap up another night, fellas, of... The Thick Skin Podcast with Jock and Hawk and our special guest, Tori Hunter. But we got one more house cleaning thing to do. The Thick Skin Award this week goes to, I'll give you the pleasure, Jock Jones.
The Thick Skin of the Week Award goes to P. Diddy.
Diddy?
P. Diddy, because boy.
Yeah. That's
he got people coming at him from all direction, so he's gonna have to have some thick skin to try to get past all these allegations,
or he's gonna get thick skin. So he better be careful. No Diddy, no Diddy,
no Diddy, no Diddy, no Diddy, no Diddy. No Diddy.
That's a coined phrase now, you know. No Diddy.
I ain't saying it no more because again, that's another one of those situations.
Yep.
Until they bring charges, it ain't nothing but hearsay.
Yep. Yeah, but they don't raid your house. Feds don't raid your house unless
they're... Yeah, but they usually raid your house and arrest whoever there, and, you know, then there's a whole investigation. They're like, yeah, you know, they know where Diddy at.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean...
He didn't think they knew where he was when he was trying to get on that jet. They know where he is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but didn't they say that was already planned or something? Like, it was...
Yeah.
I mean, like...
That's what they say.
Like, maybe he only went to the Virgin Islands. They can go get him if they wanted him.
Well.
Like, they know exactly where he is. Like, it's just like, Black Twitter and Instagram and TMZ and all them, they can go to hell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Show me an indictment. Well, show me an indictment.
I mean, until he get indicted, then yeah. But, I mean, you raiding, they must have something. They trying to confirm it. So, I'm just saying, even if it's, man, look, you don't go in a room and it's smoke in the room, and then you come out, and you don't smell like smoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Like, I mean, if these little kids involved, man.
But what are they really looking for? What did they say they were looking for?
I don't know.
Now we own confiscated Diddy. Videos. They confiscated, I would guess.
Laptops.
Sure. Yeah. Cell phones, I would guess. And
I'm sure
documents that they thought were important.
I'm sure Sean Puffy Combs didn't have a cell phone in California, and he was in Miami somewhere.
Who knows? Emails. You just don't know what's in that. Dildos.
They turned both those places upside down. So
they sure did. They sure did. And they didn't say, hey, Mr. Combs, you're more than welcome to come talk to us. They didn't say any of that. Like, he just doing what he do. Oh, well,
man,
our guy.
Yeah, rough one.
Thick Skin Award of the Week goes to Sean Puffy Combs.
Diddy.
Mm. And that wraps up another episode of the Thick Skin Podcast with Jock and Hawk and our special guest, T-Nizzle.
Thank y'all for having me, man. I had a good time. It's a lot of thick skin. Diddy got it.
It's good to be back in Texas with my boys, too. This is the second time we've been in person to do this show, so it's good to be back in Texas with my boys.
Thank you for coming to Texas. We got gun laws.
Texas, hold 'em.
This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold 'em. Put your cars down, 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 down.
We out. Peace.
Peace.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Porn, Satan, drugs, therapy. It's not just the list of what I'm up to this weekend. I'm comedian Kiki Anderson, and those are just a handful of the taboo topics I've poked and prodded at so far on my podcast, Indecent, the show where we peel at the wallpaper of polite society. Each episode digs into the dark underbelly of our culture to dissect the things we aren't allowed to talk about around the dinner table, featuring conversations with comedians, activists, journalists, academics. They all help me figure out the who, what, and why behind what is and isn't acceptable behavior. Indecent with Kiki Anderson, where NSFW meets LMAO. Mwah.
Next Chapter Podcasts.